He is risen. Three small words that brought the collective pace of humanity to an absolute standstill. He is risen. Three words that shattered prisons. Words that shook the earth's foundations. Words that transformed a sense of utter despair into cries of pure joy and ecstasy. Echoes of history's greatest triumph that still shape our reality. Even today, we're assaulted by constant distraction, countless sources waging war for our attention, yet three words pierce the noise. In our hunger for validation, our desperate pleas for love and attention, three words calm our anxiety. In a universe spinning at breakneck speed, its inhabitants locked in an existential crisis, three words proclaim the purpose of our existence. He is risen. Lay hold of this truth and embrace the peace within. Yesterday, fear reigned in our hearts. Yesterday, we sat in crippling darkness. Yesterday, we suffered abuse and all the accusations of a broken world. But today, our King, our healer, our defender is risen. And this reality doesn't merely accompany us on a meaningless journey. This changes everything. For you see, if he is risen, then all other pursuits become secondary. All of our failures become insignificant. All criticisms and condemnations become irrelevant. There is only his word, his mission, and his infinite, unconditional love for you. Because he is risen, we look to tomorrow. Tomorrow we will stop defining our worth through status and social media. Tomorrow we will together build an everlasting kingdom. Tomorrow and every day after, we will dance in the radiance of a redeeming Savior who crushed death and set us free. There is nothing that Jesus cannot overcome. We know this because he lives. We know this because he is risen.
He is risen this morning. Amen. Can we celebrate the fact that our Savior is risen? Come on. That's the reason to be excited today. Well, this morning on Resurrection Sunday, we are starting a new teaching series called the Red Series. Now, the red stands for the blood of Jesus. And if you don't know this, no single element of Christianity hinges on these two events. The resurrection, yes, but also the blood of Jesus. Without the blood of Jesus, man, we're just going through religious exercises here. But when we apply the blood of Jesus to his fullest to our life, it sets us free. And so I'm going to invite you on this journey over the next few weeks as we continue to go through this series, as we understand how big God's grace is for my life. If you ever felt like, man, I'm not good enough for God, or man, I need to get some things changed in my life before God can really love me, before God can use me, or I feel guilty because, man, I'm a Christian, but yet I seem to struggle with a lot of areas of my life. This series is going to set you free. I believe it's going to launch you. I believe it's one of the most important teachings we've ever done at Destiny when it comes to unveiling how big God's grace, and it sets us free to live for him, to serve him. It's going to be life transformational. So I invite you on this journey today. Today I want to ask you on this question, have you painted your door red? Does anybody have a red door in real life today? I see a few of you people. All right, you're the ones that like to stand out in the neighborhood, right? You want your door to pop, so you paint it red. Nothing wrong with a red door. I like those red doors. And the question is today is your door painted red? And the question I want to ask you as we start off today is simply this. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Many people say that Jesus was a great teacher. Some say he was a prophet. Jesus claimed he was the Son of God. You say, Pastor, I don't know. you know, I think that it's kind of hard. Was he really the Son of God? Was he just claiming to be the Son of God? Was he just a good teacher? I don't care where you fall when you ask that question, who is Jesus? None of us can deny that no single person has ever had a global impact for generations and for decades and for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years like this man did. This man came and he changed history. In a time before there was social media, in a time before we had Twitter and Instagram, you know, and Facebook, can you imagine today if Jesus walked the earth today, people put it on Twitter, "Ooh, Jesus just healed the blind man. Oh, Jesus just raised that person from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Ooh, I was at this party and Jesus turned the water into wine. 150 gallons, yeah. I mean, we'd have been going crazy. His fame would have spread so quickly overnight. It would have been phenomenal. But can you imagine that this man, in a time when there was no communication other than the word of mouth, with his fame spread from generation to generation around the globe, reaching millions upon millions upon millions of people, and is still growing every year. More people are coming to God every year. More people are following Christ every year from a man who was here almost a little over 2,000 years ago. What kind of man is this? That it changes everything about history. He changed everything. History says that he died an earthly death upon the cross. And this cross now becomes a worldwide symbol. No other symbol is global communicated like the cross. The cross is used to communicate. Everybody around the globe understands the meaning of the cross. That's why they have it on jewelry. That's why they have it on tattoos. That's why they have it in artwork. That's why they have it on buildings. That's why they have it on hospitals. I mean, it's on churches. All across the globe, this thing of a cross becomes, even those who don't even fully understand it, know there's something to this cross. And so it's a worldwide symbol. What kind of man makes the cross a global phenomenon like this? This man, Jesus, that's who. What kind of man changes and comes in history when he comes? He changes the way we keep time. Before Jesus, people would say things like, in the year King Uzziah died, or in the year of Caesar Augustus. I mean, they used a calendar by who was in kingdom and who was in rule, and kind of downs and lows. And they was how they marked time. In the year King Uzziah ruled, or in the year of this. But this man, when he came, had such a global impact, it's a timeout. We're starting a whole new calendar. And from now on, everything will be marked before Christ, B.C., and everything after he was born will be called A.D., which is a Latin term meaning the year of our Lord. So no longer would a king be introduced as, you know what, King Caesar in the year of 200. No, it would be now King Caesar lived in the year 200 A.D., the year of our Lord. Or 500, or this man was president here in the year of our Lord. It still marks how we say everything. He has such a global impact. His followers, they were just common people, wasn't they? His followers now, he's such an impact that now we name our children things like Peter, James, and John, and Matthew. And we name our pets after kings, Caesar and Nero. I mean, what happened there? It was something that happened that changed the impact of time forever. He changed history. He changed the way we recorded history. What kind of man has that kind of impact? He came and he changed human rights. Now we have people marching and standing up for human rights and with social media and all these campaigns. But think about it. Record goes back to say that no one ever stood up for human rights the way Jesus did. He was the first one to do that. And he came and said this, that all men are created equal in God's image. He came back and said, there's not Jew, there's not Gentile, there's not races of people. There's not slaves and poor and rich. No, he said, I came for all men. We're all created equal. Women, children. Let the children come to me. At this time, it was okay. If you had a girl and you wanted a boy, it was all right to discard them. Let them go. Get rid of them. That was okay. We see that same spirit trying to creep back in society today. It's important we stand up for life. And what's happening now is what? Jesus says, no. Bring the children to me. I've blessed them. I value them. Let the women come and sit while I teach. It's okay. See, up until this time, only the men, elite men, were allowed to be taught. Poor men couldn't be taught. Women couldn't be taught. The children couldn't be taught. But Jesus says, go unto all the world and teach and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, this is for everybody. Come on, ladies. You belong at the table as well. Come on, children. Come on, rich. Come on, poor. I don't care who you are. We belong together. Jesus went to the outsides of the city. He went outside the gates in a time when disease was not known how to be cared for. So they were fearful. They would send people with disease as outcasts outside the city. If you were sick, you were put outside the city. No one could have contact with you. Jesus said, I don't care. I'll go outside the gates of the city and I'll spend time with these people. Why? Because he's seen the value in people. What kind of man does this? Today we fight for rights. We have leaders who fought for our rights. But the first person who ever came to shake it up said we're all created equal. It was Jesus. What kind of man had this impact that he still is lasting all these years, changing society, changing things? More organizations are formed in this man's name than any other organization. Think about it. Think about organizations that are helping end human suffering and humanity across the globe. I mean, the first hospitals were started in Jesus' name. That's why we have names of hospitals like St. Mary's, St. Francis, St. Peter. And they have crosses. A lot of hospitals have crosses on one. Because the first hospitals were started in Jesus' name. The first orphanages were started in Jesus' name. People were casting off the children. They didn't want them. And Jesus' followers said, we'll bring them in to ourselves. We'll raise them up. We'll value them. It was his followers that started the orphanages. His followers started the first hospitals. That's why we have organizations like the Red Cross, started in the name of Christ. Samaritan's Purse, started in the name of Christ. We have Compassion International, World Vision. We can go on and on. Feed the Children, all started in the name of Christ. What kind of man has this global impact? Not just while he lived, but even after he resurrected and left, we still is having an impact today where people are giving up their life for the cause of helping people. Who influences people that way? This man. You have to answer the question, who is this man to you? He taught us about the power of forgiveness. He was the first one to teach about forgiving those who have done wrong to you. See, up until this time, no, you took revenge on those who did you wrong. And Jesus said, there's a better way. And now people teach us, hey, when you forgive people, you're a much emotional, healthy person. You're much mentally stable and you live your life so much free. And people who hold grudges and bitterness, man, their life gets sick and they live with anxiety and they hold grudges and it weighs them down. It affects their mental health. It affects their physical health. Jesus said, I want you to come and learn to forgive. What kind of man speaks out and says that, knowing that the very people he was teaching this to were going to crucify him? This was Jesus. Global phenomenon happened still to this day. Who is Jesus to you? I mean, he affected the arts. Think about the arts. We wouldn't have arts if it wasn't started with Jesus. More paintings have been painted about this man than any other subject in the world. More songs have been written about this man than any other songs subject in the whole world. More books have been written about this man than any other books written in the whole world about this man. He changed. There would be no Michelangelo without this cause. There would be no Bach without this cause. I mean, we have so much that all inspired by this man's time here on earth.
who was this man?
No, he wasn't just a great teacher. I mean, there's a lot of great teachers in this room, and they have a lot of good impact. But he was more than just a great teacher. And he was more than just a great prophet. This man changed the world. This man continues to change the world. And so what did Jesus say about him? Himself, John 10:9. Look what Jesus said about himself. Jesus said, I am the door. Let's say it together. I am the door. One more time. I am the door. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. He didn't say, I am a door. He didn't say, I'm one of many doors. He said, I am the door. Meaning this, that many people will come to you and say, all roads lead to heaven. All gods lead to heaven. That is not true. As a Christian today, we know this to be very true, that Jesus made it very clear. I am the door. And all roads don't lead to heaven. They must come through this door, Jesus Christ. There's only one way to the Father. It's through this door, Jesus Christ. There's only one way to spend eternity in heaven. Through this door, Jesus Christ. There's only one way that you can be reunited in fellowship with God himself. It's through this door, Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. I've come to bring you life, and you have it in abundance. He said in Matthew 7:13, look what he says. He goes, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow door, the narrow gate. Now, if you want to go the broad way, look what he says. The highway to hell is broad, man. Many, many doors lead to hell in our life. Many doors will lead to us being separated from God. But there's only one door that will lead us, the narrow door. His name is Jesus, and only through Jesus can we experience eternity with the Father. Don't let people tell you all roads lead to heaven. They do not. I want to make it very clear, and you must be accountable for the words you hear today. All roads don't lead to heaven. Only one road, only one door, only one gate. His name is Jesus. How many are thankful for that gate today? Amen. Yeah. So we have something here. I love this story. In the book of Exodus, we see the story where the children of Israel were being held captive for many, many years. They were held slaves. The Egyptians came in. They invaded. They took over the Israelites as slaves. And they kept praying, God, deliver us. God, deliver us. And one day he raises up Moses. Remember the story? How he raises up Moses. Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses goes with God's blessing, tells Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. Pharaoh's like, it ain't going to happen, buddy. I remember you. You were here. I know who you are, Moses. He goes, now it's not going to happen. And so as a sign, God began to send plagues to give sign to Pharaoh that God meant business. He turned the Nile River into blood. He sent frogs. I mean, frogs were jumping out of everywhere. I mean, you go to your house, open door, frogs be all over your house, all over your sink, and you go everywhere, okay? There are frogs overflowing throughout the house, everywhere. Then he sent locusts that came, and they all ate the crops up overnight. Swarmed in, ate them all up, destroyed them. He had hail and lightning and firestorms all happening at one time. I mean, it was amazing. All these things, God kept doing all these signs and wonders. He sent 9 plagues to show, and Pharaoh still would not listen. His heart was hardened. I'm not letting go. So finally, God's like, all right, Moses, you tell him this is what's going to happen. The spirit of death is going to visit. The spirit of death is going to visit the camp tonight, the city tonight. And the firstborn will be killed. Now, that sounds really hard, doesn't it? I don't know. Let's remember, this is the Old Testament. When God, he didn't put up a smack, I'm telling you right now. I'm glad we didn't live in that time. But remember, God gave 9 plagues as a warning. It wasn't like this is his first alternative here. He was trying to get his attention. Gave him time and time and time and time again to let God's people go. And remember, it was Pharaoh who ordered the death of all the boys. All the firstborn boys and all the boys, because the prophecy came out that out from one of them was going to rise up to lead the nation. He's like, that ain't going to happen. I'm going to kill them all. So he started killing all the young boys. And God miraculously saved Moses by the Nile River. You know that story? He was adopted in. God brought him back later. And now God says, all right, Moses, you tell them death angel's coming. The spirit of death is coming. He goes, but tell the house of Israel That is, they'll take the lamb and they'll sacrifice it. He said, you have to take a spotless lamb, one without any blemish. I want you to kill the lamb. I want you to take the blood. He goes, and everybody who takes the lamb's blood and applies it over their doorpost. Take the blood and apply it over the doorpost. All these people will be saved. And when the death angel visits, the spirit of death visits, it will pass over those homes and those homes will be saved. And only those who have not followed God's commands will be dealt with. And that night, the Bible says, was a very mourning night. You could hear the cries throughout the region as people were losing. Their youngest child was dying. But those who had the blood-covered door, they were saved. Now, let's go to God's plan. Remember in the garden, Adam and Eve, when they were created? And yes, I say Adam and Eve were created, okay? You need to know this. Adam and Eve were created. Adam and Eve didn't come from the molecules, okay? Just so you know, God created them. Pastor, I believe that, you know, it was the Big Bang that happened and all these molecules came everywhere and we came out of that. Listen, you can believe in the Big Bang. I believe in the Big Bang, right? God spoke it and bang, there it was. Something as simple as a watch has a maker. Take that watch, smash it up to 1,000 pieces, put it in the bag, shake it up all you want for 1,000 years, open that bag up. Is that watch going to be back together? No, why? Too complex for that, right? It just doesn't happen to fall into place. Even though you've been banging it around, shaking it around, it doesn't fall back into place. It's still going to be in 1,000 pieces. No, order takes a creator. And so God created the molecules. God created things to evolve. God created things into existence. And he created man and woman after his own image. And so what happened was this. God created them. And then the Bible says that there was an open door in the garden. If they could come and they could talk to God, they could walk with God, they would visit with God, and God would come and talk with them and visit with them. It was a great intimate experience with God that we could walk in the cool of the day, in the cool of the night, talking and visiting with God. They could be in the presence of Almighty God. But when Satan tempted and got Eve and Adam to sin by eating of the tree that God commanded them not to do, the one thing he said don't do, sin enters the world and slams shut the door between us and God. And so Satan's there laughing. You know what? I've stopped the plan. I've shut the door now. God doesn't have communication with his people. They're a lost cause. They'll follow after me now. I'll lead them where I want them now. This is so much easier. But how many know as soon as this door began to even go shut a little bit that God was already 10 steps ahead of Satan and had a plan? He had a plan to reopen the door. And the plan was this. He said, son, come here. Jesus, come here. I've got a plan for redemption. And the plan involves me sending you down from heaven and for you to become a babe and walk among the people, talk among the people, teach them about who I am, teach them about my forgiveness, teach them about who I am, my holiness and my righteousness, teach them about I long to be with them. Teach them, son, go. And he said, yes, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And he revealed the plan and he sent his son, Jesus, and Jesus reopened the door and came and lived with us. Now this door was shut behind Jesus. But Jesus now is walking with us. Jesus is now talking with us. Jesus is now showing us the heart of the Father. The Bible says that Jesus was the spotless one. That he was the Lamb of God. And the reason why this is important, because when Jesus willingly gave his life on the cross for you and I, the Bible says that the blood that he shed for us was for the forgiveness of our sins. It says that he forgave our sins through the cross, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and he sent his son here to be with us, to die in our place for the sins. And when Jesus died upon the cross for our sins, something miraculous happened, that the blood of Jesus was once again applied to the doorway. The blood began to run down the door. And as Jesus died on the cross for you and I, if this blood now covers the doorway, this blood now covers the doorway. It's a cross that covers our life. It's a cross that's painted across our doorway. And now what happened is this, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. His blood was applied to our life. His blood is there now, applied to the doorway. And on resurrection morning, not only was the stone rolled away, but the doorway once again was opened wide back up. And now that you and I can walk through in fellowship with the Father, now that you and I can now walk with God and God can walk with us, all we have to do is apply the blood to our door. And now our life can walk in God's grace. Now our life can walk in God's goodness. It's His blood that changes everything. Come on, give God another hand clap. It's so big in our life. Jesus painted the doorway red again. Jesus reopened the door to our life. I'm going to ask the musicians to go ahead and come. And as they do, I want you to bow your heads where you're at this morning. I want to ask you a question. The most important question I've asked all day. And we've had several people in both services make a decision today to answer this question. It's the question I'm asking you. So I want you just to bow your heads. No one's looking but me. We won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you, I promise you. But the question is this. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Is he just kind of this, you know, I know he's out there, but I've never made him Lord of my life. Don't wait. Don't wait. Today's your day. The Bible says we must believe that he is the Son of God. We believe in what he did on the cross, that he died on the cross for my sins. That's one thing to believe it. Then he says, but the second part is we must then confess it with our mouth. So we believe in our heart, and then we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus. I've been to church a lot of times. Some of you, maybe it's your first time here. Some of you, you've visited before, and some of you have been coming a long time. Doesn't make a difference, okay? The question still remains the same. Who is Jesus to you? And the question I have for you today, if you've never accepted Jesus, and today you say, Pastor, I'm ready to, in my chair where I'm sitting right now, I'm ready to ask Jesus to be Lord of my life and accept him in my life. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Thank you. Yeah, hands going up. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else today? Thank you. Yeah, thanks, guys. Anybody else today? Say, that's me, Pastor. I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Come on, raise it high where you're at. Don't leave here today. Your eternity hangs right here with this question. Who is Jesus to you? Are you ready to walk through the door? The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. He knocks at our heart's door. He doesn't bust it open, make us come through. We must choose to do that on our own. And today, if you've never chosen to say, Jesus, I'm ready to apply your blood to my door so I can walk in forgiveness and I can walk in a relationship with God. If that's you, if you haven't raised your hand yet, raise it right now where I can see it. Come on, raise it up high. Thank you. Yeah, I see you in the back. Thank you. All right, this is what we're going to do. If you raised your hands, I want you to say this prayer with me out loud. As Christians sitting around you, we'll say it with you to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God, man. We're so excited for you today. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, before you leave today, I want you to stop by our hub back here. The garage door will be open. We're going to have a free Bible. We want to give it to you today. It's really important that you get this free Bible. Some other information you want to put in your hands. Can I invite you to stand on your feet today? As you stand on your feet this morning, we're going to close this song. Come on. He's our victorious King. He's applied the blood to our door. Come on, let's tell him how much he's worthy. Let's sing it to him in closing today. Come on. Listen today, I want to remind you, okay? The next few weeks can be transformational in your life. You need to hear the message they're going to be sharing the next few weeks about the grace of God, the blood of Jesus, and what it does to our life and how it impacts. For many people, it's going to set you free. For many people, it's going to spring forward. You're going to spring forward in your relationship with God. Some of you have been walking around feeling like, man, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. God's going to set you free of that mindset, okay? Don't miss 9 o'clock and 10:50 the next few weeks. We'll be talking about that. Listen, I am so thankful to have you here today at Destiny. We love having you here. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Easter weekend. God bless you. We love you.